All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you. The unregistered Chicano writes in, the new Trump network is worthy of North Korea state TV. The W Do writes in, their first episode was the highest rated news show in the history of news, period. I know what you've been hearing, fake news, but now it's time for the real news. They should get Debbie Schlussel to do it.
I know, it'll be great.
Yes. Tesla Ranger writes in, I thought you couldn't get faker than Fox News, but I stand corrected. Indeed. Okay, lots of stories for you guys in the second hour. Let's do it.
All right. It appears that the Justice Department is now targeting universities that implement affirmative action as a way of admitting students into their institutions. Now, this was a report by the Washington Post where they realized that there was an interesting government job listing for lawyers. So the project will be based out of the department's Civil Rights Division, which is now looking for lawyers interested in working on, quote, investigations and possible litigation related to intentional race-based discrimination in college and university admissions. So the official said that the project will not operate out of the Civil Rights Division's Educational Opportunities section, where career justice attorneys oversee cases on universities, but instead in the front office of the division. So they're not going to work with the experts that usually deal with civil rights issues within these institutions. They're going to go ahead and hire outside lawyers to come in and to essentially target universities that implement affirmative action.
So I'm against affirmative action, so we'll have that conversation in a second. But understand why they're hiring those private contractors, because they're like career staffers that work in civil rights are not going to go and, in their opinion, hurt civil rights. So they're like, that's not what we do, and this is not like protecting white civil rights when whites have enormous power in this country is not a civil rights issue. It's like saying, I'll use Turkey as an example. If you want to protect Kurdish civil rights, that makes sense because Kurds are a minority in Turkey. Mm-hmm. Saying you're going to protect Turkish civil rights against the Kurds makes no sense because the Turks are a huge majority and control the government and all levers of power. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's the same situation here. Now, it doesn't mean that every white person is doing great. Of course, it doesn't mean that. But it's not like poor white people, they're being oppressed and hence need their civil rights protected. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't agree with the Trump administration on affirmative action, which in some ways as a result I do, okay? Mm-hmm. But I'm just talking about how they're applying civil rights.
Right, exactly. I mean, they're essentially using a civil rights component of the federal government, turning it on its head and using it against minorities. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I don't know if Steve Bannon is behind this, but it just, in my opinion, reeks of Steve Bannon. But that's
either
speculation,
way.
So I want to be clear about that.
Yeah, don't worry about it, Steve Bannon, because either way, this is fits in exactly with their theme of the last 2 weeks after healthcare proposal died. Base. We'll do anti-immigration stuff, we'll do anti-trans, anti-gay, right, and now we'll target minorities on the issue of affirmative action.
And just to be clear, even if Steve Bannon isn't involved in this, this is coming from the Justice Department, Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's clear we know what the intentions are here. Now, two people familiar with the internal discussions at the Justice Department Civil Rights Division said that the move came after career staffers who specialize in education issues refused to work on the project out of concerns it was contrary to the office's long-running approach to civil rights and education opportunities. As a result, political leadership within the department decided to run the effort themselves, thus looking for outside lawyers to come in and fight this. Now, there are other individuals who are studying this particular attempt to target these colleges, and they're saying, look, this is really a way of intimidating these universities and scaring them. And so I'm uncertain how far they're planning on really going when it comes to this. But what I do know is that, you know, there seems to be like a complete misunderstanding of what affirmative action does. I think that there are people who think college admissions, people who work in college admissions will see a black student and they'll be like, oh, I mean, you're failing at everything, but since you're black, we're gonna go ahead and admit you over the white student. That's not how it works. Someone's race or cultural heritage is one of many factors that play a role in their decisions in terms of who they admit and who they don't. And one of the things that colleges try to do, if these colleges decide to implement affirmative action, is create an environment that is diverse, that's representative of America. That way you're not in an institution that is just full of one particular demographic.
So the Supreme Court has ruled that diversity is a legitimate factor to consider among many factors. It cannot be the only factor in admissions. And so, and diversity isn't just to help African Americans or Latinos. It is to help everyone at the college to get a more rich experience from going to college.
So you can be a well-rounded individual. Yes.
So now that's the. I wouldn't have done it through the Civil Rights Division. I think that's purposely insulting. I agree with the Supreme Court that it, of course, could be one of the factors that people look into. Me personally, politically, I think that affirmative action is at this point. I don't want to say wrong. Wrong's not the correct word. It's now counterproductive. Okay, so it was absolutely necessary at a time when there was no way for African Americans to break into the roles that were handed down through the generations through families, whether it was legacy admissions in colleges or a lot of blue collar jobs where you'd get your son a job as a longshoreman if you were a longshoreman, etc. So that's why affirmative action was needed at one point. But now it robs legitimacy of minorities for all their achievements. So every time someone achieves who's a minority, they go, must have been affirmative action. Yes, they totally misunderstand what affirmative action is, but I think that I'm worried that that's toxic.
Well, okay, so let me respond to that, okay? With a quote that I think is brilliant, but doesn't get enough credit. Haters are gonna hate. Right? And so the people who are gonna whine and complain about that and criticize minorities who are actually succeeding in life are gonna whine and complain anyway. So if we live our lives worried about the critics and what they're gonna say, well then we're not gonna get anything done, right? And so I wanna be clear about one thing. Look, I would be more in favor of doing away with affirmative action if people in America were actually on a level playing field. So let's start with grade school. A lot of public school districts throughout the country are funded primarily through property taxes. We live in segregated neighborhoods. Minorities are more likely to live in a lower socioeconomic status and live in poorer neighborhoods that underfund these schools. And so they don't start off at a level playing field, okay? So if things were equal, then I'd say, all right, look, we live in a magical world of equality now. And so as a result, we all have a fair shot and affirmative action is no longer needed. But I don't think we live in that world. I don't think we're even close.
Okay, now I don't want to make the mistake Ann Coulter didn't try to debate you. But let me introduce two important caveats that need to be part of the conversation. So when I say affirmative action, I mean based on race. I would do affirmative action based on socioeconomic conditions.
Okay.
Because if you're a poor kid in Logan, West Virginia, and you're white, but man, it is you don't have books to take home. You're packed inside the schools, and you don't have so much of the resources that a rich family in Beverly Hills might have or Manhattan. Okay, and you still got good grades, and you still got great SAT scores. Well, that shows me I'm not doing affirmative action because I want to tilt the scales in your favor. I'm doing affirmative action to realize how amazing a job you did in the context that you were born into. So whether they're white or they're black or Latino, I don't care. Mm-hmm. But I do care that if you've overcome tough socioeconomic positions, I think they should look at that. They'd be crazy not to look at that.
I absolutely agree with you. And final point that I want to make, legacy admissions. Yeah, how about we talk about that, okay? Oh, so your daddy went to this university? I don't give a fuck, okay? That shouldn't be a reason why you get, white people never talk about that. Right?
Yes.
You never hear them complain about that. To me, that's a bigger issue than affirmative action, right? Just because Papa went to this university doesn't mean that you get an easier opportunity getting into this school.
Okay, let me tell you about how bad legacy admissions are. That was gonna be my second caveat. So at first, I used to think legacy admissions were a small percentage of the admissions. It turns out that's not true. I have friends who work in college admissions now, and it is huge. So for example, I want my kids to go to the schools that I went to. Mm-hmm. But that's not fair that they get to have an advantage in applying to those schools because they happen to randomly be my kids, as opposed to some poor kid in the middle of Kansas working his ass off, and he should get an equal shot. He should, and again, you should reward how well he did given his situation. And you know, you want to know why they colleges care so much about legacy admissions? This is amazing. It turns out the number one indicator of whether you'll donate to a school is if two generations of your family went to that school.
That's right.
Because it's all about the money, Lebowski. So that's why. But yet, in these conversations about affirmative action, legacy admissions never come up, and that's grossly unfair. And that's not based on someone has a disadvantage or not a disadvantage. That's if you have an advantage, they give you a bigger advantage. So it is. So be intellectually honest about this, and then we can have a legitimate conversation that I'm hoping we have for on the issue of affirmative action.
Agreed. All right. Let's go to the next story. There's a video going viral online featuring a woman who hurled racist insults at employees and customers at a Target. Now, the video has some profanity, it's very vulgar, but I do want you guys to take a look at it and then we'll come back and give you some deets.
Riot! You fucking damn nigger fucking pieces of shit, fuck all of you. My son. Fuck you, you damn nigger bitches. You are shit. All of you are shit. You don't even have a fucking ghost.
I don't speak English,
right? Get off of me. No. 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 No.
All right, so as of now, this video, you know, the person who posted the video isn't responding to people who are tweeting to him or her. And so we don't know exactly where it took place. All we know is this video exists and this incident happened. Look, I feel like these videos are now a dime a dozen where someone goes on a crazy rant that's racist or xenophobic and, you know, they get criticism for it. But what I want to comment on more than anything is the fact that that security guard is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing, whenever I go to a Target or any department store where they have a security guard, I'm like, what's this kid gonna do, right? Mm-hmm. Usually they don't have weapons or lethal weapons. And look at what he did. I mean, that woman was like losing her mind and honestly very violent and threatening. And he managed to restrain her on his own without using any weapons. I don't know who that man is, but I want to give him a ton of love and a ton of credit.
Yeah, you know, I guess I've become too much of a lib because watching those arrests are always super uncomfortable. In this case, not an arrest, he's detaining her until the police come. And she's doing property damage. But at the same time, like when she started screaming, I thought, she didn't break too many things, just let her go.
What?
Yeah.
No, she's throwing things at customers and employees at this Target. No, don't let her go. You're nuts.
Okay.
I think, you know, in terms of my lib side coming out, I think that she doesn't seem like she's mentally sound. And so she might have a condition, and I don't want to, you know, I don't know.
Drunk.
I don't know anything about her.
Or she's high.
Exactly.
Like, she's not in good shape. You know, so that's why I'm saying I'm libbing out on this. Mm-hmm. Like, she got enough problems. And I know that she's saying terrible things. But, and that leads to my second point, which is that oftentimes the people saying and doing terrible things are in real bad shape. And they're looking for someone, anyone, to be below them, whether that's rational or not rational. Of course, not true, but they're desperately trying to find someone that's doing worse than them so they can feel better about themselves. And when they can't find anyone, what do? They go, well, someone else must be worse than me. by their very nature, mm-hmm. right? Not based on actions. But these, I don't know, were they Arabic? I don't know why she was calling them sand, whatever.
We don't know anything about the employees or the
customers. Who knows what she was thinking, right? Mm-hmm. But they, by definition, must be worse than me, and I'm in terrible shape.
Yeah.
So as I look at her, and nobody really got hurt. I don't know. I might have just been like, just don't come back.
You can't throw things at people. And look, I just want to find out who that security guard is, and I want him to get hired as a cop. He's awesome.
So, okay.
Anyway, all right, one more story before we go to break. An anti-immigrant group in Norway left some pretty interesting comments on a photo that featured what appeared to be women sitting at a bus, okay? So this anti-immigrant group on Facebook is known as Fatherland First.
And that sounds great.
And they're known to be anti-immigrant. And look, they've had an increase of immigrants coming into their country, refugees coming into their country as a result of some of the unsettling things happening in the Middle East. So of course, naturally, you're gonna have some people who are not happy about that. Mm-hmm. These individuals represent that group. Now, someone decided to play a little bit of a prank and posted this picture onto the Facebook page. And if you just quickly glance at it, I think maybe you might be able to see a group of women sitting on a bus wearing burkas. I think if you look a half a second longer, you can just see that they're seats, right?
Oh, I just figured out they were seats. I thought they'd put dummies in place.
No, they're just empty seats. And so someone who has access to the group decided to post the picture and said that, you know, what do people think of this, you know? And the response was expected.
Okay? Of course.
One person writes, it looks really scary, should be banned. By the way, Norway is considering legislation that would ban headdresses like the burqa or niqab. You can never know who's under there, could be terrorists with weapons.
Well, now to be fair, it doesn't look like anybody's sitting in those empty seats, but that's why they could be ghosts.
Uh-huh.
And ghosts could be friendly like you, the friendly host Casper.
Am I friendly?
Okay, or it could be a malicious ghost, it could be a terrorist ghost.
You never know, you never know. So yeah, this prankster basically said, you know, I laid out the photo to see what happened. He got the kind of response that he expected, and he said, I ended up having a good laugh.
So guys, here's the situation. I don't like burkas, but that's like my opinion, man. And when I see a woman in a burqa, I wish that she would get liberated, and I want to help free her, but I don't want to do that by hating her. You see how ironic that is? I want to do that by trying to get our message out more that there's honestly a culture that works better, mm-hmm. For women and for everyone involved. That being free is the better way to go. Now I make that case against all the religions. So mm-hmm. for evangelicals here in America, you know, all the things, you can't do this and you can't do that, and there's people that are against porn. Just no. You do whatever you want, leave us alone. And by the way, if you're not watching porn, I'd like to liberate you too. Okay? And you're needlessly oppressing yourselves with these ancient, ridiculous cultures that are way outdated. Now, but turning your fury against them makes no sense, right?
Yeah.
So, like,
I think turning your fury against them is it's basically a symptom of a common problem that I'm seeing, not just in Norway. So I'm not trying to criticize Norway. We have this problem in the US too, where people react to things that they find unusual or scary without just stopping to think about it for a second. So for instance, this photo, right? If people wanted to react to it right away, like, oh, it looks scary. But like, just take a second to really like process it. Take a second to really think about it. I think mm-hmm. that's what I want to say. So look, I get it, okay? I totally understand that if you are living in a country where seeing women wearing burqas is unusual, it's gonna be super unsettling to all of a sudden notice that there are women wearing burqas all around you. You're not used to it. And so I don't wanna, you know, I don't wanna be too harsh against them, because I think any normal human being would feel the same way. But just give yourself a second to really process it and think about why it is you feel that way, and why do you feel threatened, and is that person really a threat? And even outside of issues pertaining to refugees and Muslims. Look, I'm guilty of this too. Sometimes I react too quickly. Sometimes I need to stop and really think about it before I have a response or a reaction. And that's okay. It's okay if you hesitate and you think about it before reacting.
Yeah, and this prank is great because it does give you kind of a Rorschach test into your perceptions.
Right.
So people who don't see any problems saw empty seats. People who are afraid of Muslims saw burqas. Mm-hmm. And I saw dummies because I got triggered by the word right wing and I thought it must be dummies. Okay, all right. No, in all seriousness. Look, it's not just about Muslims. Like for Muslims, I want to help them. And one of the great compliments I got at the end of one of the shows, live shows that we did, was a Muslim woman who came up to me and said that we gave her the courage to not follow that the traditions that she felt were oppressing her. Mm-hmm. And she now feels free. Mm-hmm. And that feels amazing that we got that done. But I feel just as good when people who are evangelical come out and say, hey, you know what? I was gay, or I wasn't. I was just like, there's all these rules, and the rules don't make any sense, and I feel free now, right? And if you're a right-wing evangelical kid out there, and you got all this propaganda in your head, no, sex is bad, porn is bad, take a load off. Well, maybe literally. Okay. It's okay. But part of liberating people isn't hating them.
Right, exactly. One quick thing that I want to say in regard to women wearing burqas in like Western cultures. Mm-hmm. So look, I think it's interesting because you usually bring up the point that, hey, you know, it oppresses them and you want to liberate them so they can finally take it off and wear what they really want to wear. But we get pushback when we make that comment for Muslim women who do live in free societies and they want to wear the burqa or the niqab or whatever headdress.
No, they don't.
Okay, but here's the thing. So I thought about it in my own context because a couple of years ago, there was this uber progressive guy who started getting on me because I like to wear heels. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, you totally bought into the patriarchy. Why are you wearing high heels? You shouldn't be wearing high heels. You're torturing yourself just so you can, you know, appease the patriarchy, this and that. And I'm like, no, I actually really like wearing heels. Like, mm-hmm. You guys never see my shoes. I have no reason to wear heels, but I wear heels often at work because they make me feel powerful. They make me feel, you know, taller. They make me stand straighter. And I just like it. I like wearing feminine clothes. It makes me feel nice and beautiful, whatever it is. And so it was super insulting to me to have that guy tell me that I've been brainwashed by the patriarchy when in reality I'm doing something that I genuinely enjoy and it makes me feel good. And yeah. So I think there might be Muslim women out there that feel that way about, you know, the way they dress. And I don't know, it's just it's an uncomfortable issue because you don't know what they're thinking or what they're feeling.
Okay, so when you said you guys don't see my shoes, 28% of the male audience went, "Why not?" Okay. Anyway, I want to talk more about this in a post game.
Okay.
Because I kind of disagree with what you just said. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really interesting conversation, but a longer conversation. So let's do that in the post game, tytnetwork.com/join, and we'll take it up there. Okay? Because I think that people get brainwashed into doing the things that they do, and they genuinely think they want to do it, but what does that mean? Is it actually genuine? That's the conversation we'll have in the post game after the show. Okay, so let's take a quick break. One more thing. On the first affirmative action story, I really, really wanted to add something. So I'm just gonna go back to that for a second, okay? And finally, on affirmative action, I want you to know what the real effects are. So California ended affirmative action. So the jury's in. They ended it in the mid-1990s. And so minority enrollment did go down for African Americans and Latinos. As an example, at UCLA, Hispanic enrollment had peaked at 16.1% in 1995 and went down to 12.5% by just 2000. So they lost 4% there, but in that of 16%, that's obviously a significant percentage. But you wanna know the most interesting part? The thing that went down the most was white enrollment. It went, for example, at the University of California, San Diego, in 1990, white enrollment was 57%. By 2005, it had dropped to 33%, from 57 to 33. You wanna know why? If the whites, blacks, and Latinos dropped, well, who's taking all the positions? Asians. So it is true that affirmative action discriminates against Asians. It does. But the number one benefactor, especially in raw numbers, from affirmative action is white Americans. So I don't know if that's why the Supreme Court turned around and was like, you know what, affirmative action, not so bad, because earlier they had ruled against it. Maybe they saw these numbers and they're like, wait. Yeah. Let's bring back affirmative action, because apparently white folks really, really need it. So if you're just, all I'm saying is be careful what you wish for. All right, we'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Plenty of people disagreeing with me on Twitter. So what's new in America? Billy Runaway says, strenuously disagree with Cenk. Anna is right in this case.
Which one?
I believe it's affirmative action that he's referring to. Wrong, no, okay. Leanne writes in, hey Cenk, no one in retail gets paid enough to have to put up with that kind of abuse. Let her go, are you kidding? So
that was a weird, like, pardon from you.
It is, no, because she's not a person in power. Do you see what I'm saying?
I know, but just because she's not in power doesn't mean that she's not dangerous.
No, she's in bad, bad times. You gotta get her out of there, okay? Mm-hmm. It's just like that pizza shop that I went to. The woman who was being horribly abusive to the manager, and they got her out of there, and then when the cops started arresting her, she broke down and started crying. And I felt like you had to get her out of there, but she's in bad shape, man.
Yeah.
So extra punishment, anyway, that's my lip side. All right, Elliot writes in, not sure why we should give more leniency to white women for throwing things at employees when autistic black men get shot at. Well, I don't want either, just to be clear. Okay, so all right, anyways, what did I say? Bad idea to ever debate Anna Kasparian. All right, go ahead.
All right. A family in Tennessee has filed a federal civil lawsuit against a police department after he was arrested, restrained, and then tased several times while he was restrained. The teenager in the center of this lawsuit is 18-year-old Jordan Norris. He was arrested for drug possession, marijuana to be specific, drug paraphernalia, and also having prohibited weapons, although those weapons haven't been disclosed. Now, he had been booked on charges of on these charges, and then apparently while he was in a cell, he had a mental episode and started banging his head against the wall. And so cops who worked there restrained him, and then while he was restrained, they did tase him. Now we have the video of it, and it's really hard to look at. So I want to give you guys a warning ahead of time. But with that said, let's take a look.
So he's obviously restrained, there's no question about that. And Anna, are they claiming they did this because they didn't want him to do stuff after he's restrained? Because otherwise, this is just gratuitous torture.
So this video went on for a long time, and it's really hard to look at. They went on and on and on, and they wouldn't stop. And he's restrained, he doesn't pose a threat. I mean, the whole reason why the taser is available to enforcement, police enforcement, is so they can subdue someone who is not easily subdued. And in this case, he is literally restrained. And I mean, I gotta be honest, he's lucky that he didn't die, because it went on for a long time and they're tasing him in his chest. And there have been cases of people who have died because the taser hit their heart. And
yeah, you could definitely have a heart attack. I'm gonna read the first graphic here. In the second video, taken from the taser camera and matching the time period shown in the first video, one officer is heard saying, I'll keep on doing that until I run out of batteries. So look, if someone is having a mental episode, please bring in an expert. A taser is not a psychological expert. You're applying the wrong tool to the job. Because it's not that it's not frustrating that it's hard to control the kid, and he might even hurt himself if he keeps banging his head. Mm-hmm. That's not the issue. The issue is how do you deal with that? And you're trying to do it in a way where you think, okay, if I apply enough force, then they will logically stop doing that. Not if they're having a mental episode, then they're not using logic. If he was using logic, he wouldn't have been banging his head against the wall in the first place. You need a professional to help you with that. And using brute force, A, doesn't help you at all. B, is likely counterproductive. And it's gonna make him wanna rebel more because you're tasing the living crap out of him.
Right.
Right? And C, is just gratuitously harmful. It just, since it doesn't get the job done, all it does is just punish this poor kid. And if your reason for going in was, hey, I want to make sure he doesn't get hurt, well, you got a curious way of showing it.
Well, that's not the reason they put him in there. Well, yeah, I mean, he had an episode, and maybe that's the reason why they wanted to restrain him. But it's just, yeah, you're absolutely right. It is counterproductive. If you genuinely care about his safety, then why are you tasing him? Especially tasing him in a way that could lead to his own death. By the way, his stepfather, William Chapman, said that after the teen was released on bond from jail, he counted more than 40 burns on his body, and they even provided some photos to prove it. Again, graphic, but here's some more evidence that they plan on using in this case. It's just so stupid. It really is.
You know what? Again, it's always comes back, unfortunately, the same thing, training. Okay, because there's two issues wrong with the training here, and not every police department does it that way. We've over and over given credit to the police departments that do bring in mental health experts, and they and the ones that do that lower the rate of violence from cops to citizens tremendously, which is great. That's great news. That's what you should be doing, right? Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, most of the police departments do not do that, and they apply the only thing they're taught: force. And if force doesn't work, more force, and at the end, lethal force, and sometimes in the beginning, lethal force.
Yeah.
So luckily, in this case, it wasn't lethal, but it easily could have been. And just because you have a hammer doesn't mean everything's a nail. And unfortunately, a lot of the police training is find a nail and hammer the hell out of it. This was not a hammer situation.
Yeah, and luckily the public defender managed to get that video, that surveillance released. So they obviously have a case, and I'm glad that it was also released to the public so we can please stop pretending like we don't have an issue with policing in the country. All right, final story. It's a light one, sort of, but I'm amused by it.
Go.
Recently, a news organization, publishing company, I don't know. Let me start that again. Recently, an article was written about the emergence of anti-vaxxers. Now, anti-vaxxers have been around. They made a lot of headlines in recent years because they believed that vaccines would lead to autism among children. Now, of course, that's been debunked time and time again. However, this new generation of anti-vaxxers are concerned about vaccines for their pets, specifically for their dogs. So according to Brooklyn Paper, a growing number of folks in New York's hippest neighborhoods simply will not take their pets in for routine shots. Some of those shots include rabies shots, which you're supposed to get every year for your pet.
Great.
One person, you know, just to provide an example, one person had tweeted, y'all, a dog owner called the clinic today and asked, could vaccines make their dog autistic like they do with humans? So I guess that's an employee from a clinic. But there was an actual veterinarian who was asked about this. Her name is Amy Ford, and she said, we do see a higher number of clients who don't want to vaccinate their animals. This may be stemming from the anti-vaccine movement, which people are now applying to their pets. She also says it's actually much more common in the hipstery areas. I really don't know what the reasoning is. They just feel that injecting chemicals into their pet is going to cause problems. Now, to be fair, Brooklyn Paper did not interview any of these anti-vaxxers. I'd be really curious to hear from them and what they think. But here's the thing. I have a dog. I love my dog. I just feel like we're not worthy of dogs.
Right.
Okay. They're just so...
They're humans.
Precious, innocent, pure, like loving things, and we're not worthy.
Animals are innocent.
Okay, I hear you, sister.
Take care of your dog. Dog's not gonna get autism. What's wrong with you?
Okay, so I thought when you said, to be fair, the Brooklyn Paper did not interview, you were gonna end the sentence with, did not interview any of the dogs to see if they were in fact autistic. Okay, I don't know how you would find out if a dog is autistic.
Right.
Okay, you know why? Because they're not humans. I know you think they are. I know she thinks they are, but they're not.
Okay. Another vet said, we've never diagnosed autism in a dog. I don't think you could.
How would you know? All right. Anyway, this is the two ends of the political spectrum coming together.
Uh-huh.
You know, the uber left and the uber right. They're like, If there's one thing we know, science isn't true. Okay. Now, guys, to be fair, there is a range of people in the anti-vaccine movement, right? And there's the ones who have totally unsubstantiated views. And then there are the people who are concerned about mercury in some of the vaccines. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thought. I don't have an opinion on it. And I'm not like, oh, it's totally true. And oh my God. No, I do all the vaccines and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But what I was trying to do is find, there was an intelligent person who wanted to make the mercury case on the show. And we were going to have them debate someone. And no one will debate anyone who's anti-vaccine. It's amazing.
Wow.
We reached out to all the doctors, the scientists, because I'm like, look, I don't want to just interview the anti-vaccine person because that might present a skewed view of it, and I'm not an expert.
Exactly.
And yeah. I can't debunk, so I want to make sure there's someone else to. And they're like, nope, won't do it, won't do it.
That's really strange.
I know. We asked a ton of people and couldn't find anybody to pick up that mantle. Anyway, so. And don't necessarily dismiss everyone out of hand. Mm-hmm. At the same time, look, you need those vaccines, not only for humans, but yes, for dogs. If your dog might have rabies, you need to have a vaccine or yeah. might get rabies, right? You're not doing your dog any favors by not getting the vaccines, let alone your neighborhood. So if rabies starts to break out in Brooklyn among hipsters, I will be greatly amused. I mean, that's a shame. But we're trying to prevent it. So go get the vaccine that the dogs need if you care about them.
Yeah, and look, maybe there are some people who think that vaccines are harmful for their pets. But I think the bigger issue is they're expensive. Like vaccines for your pets are expensive.
Taking why you should not.
Yeah, so I feel like they might be using that as an excuse. Like, oh yeah, it might be really bad.
No, I bet hipsters definitely believe it.
Yeah.
And then we're way overgeneralizing.
I know, but that's all you can really do because they didn't interview any of these so-called hipsters who refuse to vaccinate their dogs, right? I mean, at least we heard from the vets who say, yeah, there's a growing trend. Uh-huh. But just please vaccinate your dog.
And if you're a progressive and you're starting to agree with Michelle Bachmann, you might want to check yourself. It can happen. It can happen on some issues. This is probably not the hill you want to die on, or for your pets to die on.
Right. Aww.
Because remember,
animals are innocent.
Never innocent.
Okay. All right, guys. We're largely out of time. So in the post game, we're going to pick up the conversation we started about whether women wearing headscarves can actually exercise their free will to wear them. Now, I know a lot of progressives are going to disagree with me, and it is a super interesting conversation, and it's not black and white. There's a lot of gradations there, and it's an interesting conversation. That's why when we want to take more time to discuss an issue, like we did with the Russian assassination last night on the post game, mm-hmm. which is super interesting, not related to the election, but a fascinating story from 2015. That's why we do the post games. So go to tytnetwork.com/join. If you're a member, you get all the post games, you get the whole 2-hour show, you get it ad free, and you can download it or stream at any time. Plus, old school, aggressive, progressive, and all the network shows like What the Flick and Murder with Friends. And you help support independent media. Okay, so there's a lot of good reasons to sign up. And thank you for doing that. And like I said, tonight at 11 o'clock Eastern, we'll have a great new episode of Old School that all the members can watch live. All right, so I hope to see you on Old School. And don't forget, Jimmy Dore is going to come burn down the house down tomorrow on Aggressive Progressive. You can see the first segment for free. Everybody at 9 o'clock mm-hmm. Eastern on Thursdays, every Thursday. And then the rest goes for members. So join up. Help support us for a good cause. Okay.
Bye-bye.